From Hollywood, it's the new Edgar Bergen Hour with Charlie McCarthy. Tonight, to celebrate Edgar and Charlie's 20th anniversary on the air, we will look back through time and bring you some of the great highlights of past shows with Rudy Vallee, W.C. Fields, John Barrymore, Don Ameche, Jimmy Stewart, Marilyn Monroe, Nelson Eddy, and our regular Sunday cast. Yes, it's the 20th anniversary on the air with Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Clip you, Bergens, help me, I'll mow you down.
It's Sunday night, and time again transcribed for Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy with Mortimer Snerd, Carol Richards, Ray Noble, Jack Kirkwood, Rudy Whistler, the Mellow Men, Dave Barry, our guests from the past, yours truly, John Heaston, and our special guest, Nelson Eddy. Now, here they are, the stars of our show, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Good evening, everybody.
Yeah. Holy smoke, it's Nelson Eddy. The last one we have on. Nelson, what are you doing here?
Well, Charlie, I wanted to see you.
Really?
Yep, summer's coming on, and I could use a surfboard. Who says I don't have a sense of humor?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but whoever he is, he's right.
All right. Actually, Charlie, Nelson came out just for old time's sake. This show marks our 20th anniversary on radio. And if you remember, Nelson started with us way, way back.
Yes, that's right. I was so young then, well, I just can't seem to remember who carried me up to the mic.
Well, you must have been quite a boy. It took six ushers, so.
Well, we had a great gang back in the old Chase and Sanborn hour. Remember that, Nelson? And beside yourself, there was W.C. Fields, Don Ameche, and Dorothy L'Amour.
Yeah.
But, Nelson, your visit certainly brings back memories.
Well, speaking of memories, that guy brought some to the studio with me.
Oh?
They are recordings of some of the highlights of your past shows.
You mean we're going to hear some of our old friends again?
That's right. I'm sure your audience would like to reminisce over those past 20 years with us. Let's see, Charlie, do you remember how it all started?
Yeah. In the beginning, there was Rudy Vallee.
Yes, I suppose we could say Rudy was responsible for it all. He gave us our first chance. Put us on his show, you know.
I'll never forget when you went to him for the job. Listen.
Bergen, we've been waiting here for Rudy Vallee for 3 days. I'm getting hungry.
Hungry?
Yeah.
Well, I'm the one that's hungry. I tell you, Charlie, I'm so starved. I could almost...
Don't look at me that way. No, I'm just skin and bone, Bergen. I'd only stick in your teeth.
Oh. Are you sure this is Rudy Vallee's office?
Oh, it must be. There's a picture of Rudy Vallee looking at a picture of Rudy Vallee.
Excellent, sir. Rudy Vallee. Everybody rise, please. Welcome, your crownership.
Mr. Vallee, we came to talk to you about your radio program.
Yes, awfully good, isn't it?
Well, it's not that so much.
Just what are you fellows doing here?
Well, I'm a ventriloquist.
A what?
A ventriloquist. I talk through my stomach.
That's nothing. I sing through my nose. Acrobats, jugglers, now ventriloquists. I'd have everything thrown at me.
Even grapefruit.
Oh, this is a thankless job. I spend my days and nights looking for talent, high and low.
Well, why don't you hire us?
I hadn't intended to look that low.
Well, we promised to work hard.
Well, are you reliable? You boys don't drink, do you?
No.
Drink? We hardly eat.
Well, I'm going to take a chance on you anyway, against my better judgment.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Vallee, thank you. I deeply appreciate your generosity.
Oh, stop licking his hand.
And now, Mr. Vallee, what about money?
Oh, that's all right. You won't have to pay me anything.
There have been some famous feuds in history. The Montagues and the Capulets, the Hatfields and the Coys. But this one tops them all.
I think I know the adversaries. Charlie and the great W.C. Fields.
How we battled.
Yes.
Oh, and how we loved every minute of it.
That's right.
And so did the audience. That feud was responsible for the biggest listening audience any radio show ever had. Whenever Charlie and W.C. Fields met, sparks flew.
Ah, hello, Edgar.
If it isn't up to C, the original half-man, half-nose, well.
Well, Charlie McCarthy, the woodpecker's pin-up boy.
Well, as long as you're here, Bill, you can talk to me while Charlie's getting his hair cut.
Ah, you know, Edgar, it's touching to see your affection for the little nipper. It strikes a tender chord in my heart.
Oh, thank you, Bill. You know, I thought you didn't like children.
Oh, not at all, Edgar. I love children. I can remember when, with my own little unsteady legs, I toddled from room to room.
When was that, last night?
Quiet, Wormwood, or I'll whittle you down to a coat hanger.
Yeah.
Tell me, Charles, is it true your father was a gate-legged table?
If it is, your father was under it, or...
Why, you stunted spruce. I'll throw a Japanese beetle on you.
Why, you barfly, you. I'll stick a wick in your mouth and use you for an alcohol lamp without you. Oh, I tell you, we were good friends, weren't we?
Yes, Charlie. But I know one friend you've made on this program that you'd like to show a little more affection to. I'm referring to your lovely singing star, Carol Richards.
Oh, yes, I love her voice, and I'm just wild about her arrangements. Sing, Carol.
That was wonderful. You know, Edgar, there's one great pal of yours out of the past that I'm sure no one has forgotten. John Barrymore.
Oh, yes. He was not only a friend, he was a neighbor. He lived just a stone's throw away.
And many a time he threw it.
John owned quite a place. There was an aviary, a theater, a swimming pool, gun collection room, even a totem pole. In fact, if I remember rightly, we made a totem pole the subject of a radio show once.
You remember rightly, Edgar.
Yeah.
Mr. Barrymore, might I ask, why have you that ugly totem pole staring at us from your front lawn? Aren't you frightened when you get up in the morning and see those ugly faces staring at you?
Some morning he stares out and frightens the totem pole.
So help me speak the truth. Many a morning I feel like the third man from the top.
See, the great profile. And there he stands. Oh, yes. What features? Why, they look like you've been chiseled.
I have, laddie, Buck, many times.
Look at that nose, how it points. Mama, he looks like he's scented a covey of quail.
You know, John, your name is synonymous with profile.
Yes, yes. And I might add, you know, it's getting a little tiresome riding through life side saddle. Oh.
Gee, Nelson, this is getting interesting. Who's next?
A chap called Gazzola.
Oh, yeah.
Don Nemici. He was a very important part of our shows for many years.
Yeah.
Do you remember that time he worked on your teeth, Charlie?
Do I? I can hear his voice now.
Hello, 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 and how do you do?
Well, hello, Dr. Hoyt. I'm Edgar Bergen. You were highly recommended to me, Dr. Hoyt.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. That's fine. But Dr. Hoyt, he just stepped out to have his teeth fixed.
Oh, he did, I see.
Yes.
Well, who are you?
I'm his substitute.
Filling in for a friend, huh?
I'm Amici Gazzola, first class of dentist, DDS, RFD, and SOS. Pull of the teeth while you wait.
Gazzola, if you're a dentist, I'm Dorothy L'Amour.
Pleased to meet you, Miss L'Amour.
Yeah.
I think Charlie has a cavity, Doctor. Now,
yeah?
do you do fillings and inlays?
Oh, sure, sure. We got inlays, outlays, DKs, doorways.
Yeah.
Mondays, always.
All right. This is awful.
All right, come on, kid. Jump in the side of the chair here. Climb up one of my chairs, sonny boy.
All right. You're not going to sing me into that.
What are your rates?
Oh, rates?
Yes.
Rates, you say? Well, yes. I got to cut the rates, V8s, upper plates, and a blue plate.
Yeah.
With two kinds of funky pie.
Then.
All right, the Kamana kid. Open to the chair, Bambino.
Okay, Babuno.
All right, open it wide to the mouth now. Holy mackerel.
Quite a wind tunnel, ain't it?
Now, which of those she's hurt?
Well, I'm not sure which one it is. I think it's my cuspidor.
Your cuspidor?
It's the one I spit through.
Look, kid, from experience, lets you play mistake.
Yeah.
Let's pull them all out, huh?
Yeah. No,
hand me down,
no.
My noble kid.
No.
Hand me down,
hey.
My noble kid.
Wait,
Look,
you.
What's the matter?
You China chiseler, you take it easy. You're not going to pull any of them.
Okay. Let's not pull them. Let's fill them up, huh?
Yeah,
What's the kind of filling you like?
It doesn't matter. Lemon or coconut custard.
Kid, how about the some nice pongy pie, huh?
Now, don't start that again.
No, all right, we'll stop.
Now, for the last time, Doctor, how much is it going to cost me?
Well, look, let's make a figure out here.
All right.
We got to use a little multiplication here.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Got a little subtraction, too.
Uh-huh.
That's it. There's the X-ray. Fill of the tooth. That's a 2 for $5 and a 3 for $10.
Yeah, one for all and all for one, yeah.
That's all right. This is a smart kid, ain't it? Let's say we punch into the 10 to pull out the tooth. Well, on the chingle, let's bring over this side of here. And pull this one over here and bring it down.
You carry one and I'll carry one. Okay.
How does it come out, Doctor?
What do you know? Is it come out two kinds of pongy pie?
That's all right.
that Amici is wonderful.
I wonder if I could talk a little about memories now, Nelson.
Well, certainly, Edgar.
Well, some of my fondest memories are musical ones. The splendid singing of Nelson Eddy over the years and the wonderful accompaniment of Ray Noble. I'm happy to say they've gotten together again for this new song, I'm On My Way, which Nelson has been so successful with on his current tour.
Where am I going? I don't know. Where I'm heading, I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. When will I be there? I don't know. When will I get there? I ain't certain. All I know is I am on my way. Got a dream, boy. Got a song. Paint your wagon and come along. Where am I going? I don't know. When will I be there? I ain't certain. What will I get? I ain't equipped to say. But who gives a hang? I'm on my way. While living with hunger and a dying of thirst, from the earth one day the sunshine bursts. Oh, what a beautiful sight to behold. There at my feet lay a wealth of gold, 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 gold. There at my feet lay a wealth of gold. Now I'm coming home, Sally Lou, with a wagon full of presents just for you. Sally Lou, where am I going now? I know I'm going back to where I started, going back with what I came to find. When will I be there? I don't know. All I know is I am going, going to the girl I left behind. Got a fortune in my pocket, but without her, I'm stony broke. Had the fever, found the cure. I'll never leave her, that's for sure. And when the parson has his say, our true love will guide us on the way to our golden wedding.
That was great, Nelson.
Oh, more wonderful than ever. But now let's get back to some of those old shows again. You know, I sure got laughs in those days, didn't I?
Yeah, Charlie sure did. But after a while, you had a competitor for the laughs. Edgar created Mortimer Snert.
Yeah.
One of Mortimer's classics was the time he and Jimmy Stewart tangled with you, Edgar, in a panel discussion on agriculture.
Tonight's discussion will concern itself with the various phases of farm problems. And our guests are two of the most prominent farmers in the country. I would like to introduce them to you right now. First, your name, please, sir.
Well, it always has been. What was the query?
The query. Your name is Mortimer Snert.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And now for our other expert on this farm panel, your name, please.
Well, my name is, I know as well as I know my own name. What was the query?
Yes, your name, sir.
Oh, yeah, Zeke Stewart.
Yes, I see. Thank you. Gentlemen, greetings and salutations.
Well, thank you. I don't mind if I do, yeah.
I'll go along with that.
Mind if I go with you?
No.
Gentlemen, please. This is a forum. Now, what is your opinion on agriculture?
Well, it's my opinion that no farm should be without it.
I'll go along with that.
You can get there first, wait for me, huh?
Yeah, now, come. We must have some helpful information. Now, well, Mr. Snert, what is your idea on increasing milk production?
I'm glad you asked me, yeah. Increasing milk production.
Yeah.
First, you got to get a cow. You got to do that. You'll go along with me on that, won't you, Zeke?
Yeah. Should be a female cow.
Yeah. Now, this morning, I milked 2 gallons of milk in 10 minutes.
I see. Well, you must have been in great form.
Yeah, sir, I was really hitting on all four.
Perhaps I'll do better if I explain parity. Parity is equality in purchasing power between different kinds of money at a given ratio.
No!
With Zeke's opinion, yes.
Look, gentlemen, in other words, if a bushel of corn costs $2 under present conditions, do you think...
Well, I'll tell you, it's like this.
I haven't asked the question yet.
Well, I ain't a fellow that waits until the last minute. All right.
Now, time's a wasting, and that's for dang sure. I like you, Mort. You're nobody's fool.
Well, nobody's in particular, anyway. For dang sure.
Yeah, we ought to get along fine. We understand each other.
Who do?
You and me.
Oh, them, yeah.
That's who I was talking
gentlemen,
about.
Gentlemen,
all the time.
Gentlemen, if
you
a bushel
me.
Of corn. If a bushel of corn. Now get this.
I like you, Mort. Let's get together sometime, Mort.
Okay, where?
Well, we can decide that when we get there.
If a bushel.
Anyway, I hope to see you sometime, Mort.
Well, then some other time I can see you. Yeah. If we change off like that, we won't get so sick of seeing each other.
Now, this bushel of corn...
Well, how about coming over to my farm, Zeke?
Okay, where is it?
Well, I'll tell you how to get there if you don't mind getting lost. Oh, yeah.
How far is it as the crow flies?
Oh, it's about... Well, you ain't coming by crow, are you?
Corn be sustained by supply and demand. That is, should the price of that bushel of corn be sustained by supply and demand or by government subsidy?
Where'd you say that place you're
going? Well, you see, Mr. Stewart, you go down the road till you come to a crossroad, and then you make a U-turn straight ahead. And...
Is that there a small U or a capital U?
Well, that's your problem, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, gentlemen, why do you refuse to answer my questions about a bushel of corn?
Because we raise as rutabagas, I see. You slicker?
Yeah. Well, let's go on to the question box.
Yeah, all right. Let's just go.
No. Here's the first question. How do you treat potato bugs?
With contempt.
Yeah. Oh. Sorry, gentlemen, but our time is up.
Well, I reckon that's as good a direction as any.
Yeah, I think. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want printed copies of this discussion, don't write us. Write your psychiatrist. You're nuts.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah, me too.
An anniversary show transcribed with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, Jack Kirkwood, Dave Barry, The Mellow Men, Ray Noble, Nelson Eddy, and some of the great highlights of past shows with Rudy Vallee, W.C. Fields, John Barrymore, Don Ameche, Jimmy Stewart, Marilyn Monroe. We'll be back after station identification. Address is the CBS Radio Network. From Hollywood, it's the Edgar Bergen Anniversary Show with Charlie McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Rudy Whistler, Carol Richards, Jack Kirkwood, The Mellow Men, Dave Barry, Ray Noble, Nelson Eddy, and some of the great highlights of past shows with Rudy Vallee, W.C. Fields, John Barrymore, Don Ameche, Jimmy Stewart, Marilyn Monroe, and yours truly, John Heaston.
I think one of my favorite shows was the time Marilyn Monroe was a guest.
Oh, boy, I was really living there for a while.
That was quite a romance Charlie and Marilyn Monroe had. In fact, they were on the verge of getting married.
Yeah.
Well, Charlie, in a little while, you will be married to Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
You know, Charlie, there comes a time in everyone's life when he must learn about certain things.
Yes. Well, what do you want to know, Bergen?
What I'm trying to tell you, Charlie, is that what I'm trying to explain to you, I don't know what you're trying to...
Charlie!
Oh, Marilyn Monroe!
I'm here!
Oh, and you look beautiful.
I'm wearing my wedding dress.
Yeah.
Something borrowed.
Yeah, you didn't borrow enough.
So happy. Mm. I can see it now.
Yeah.
You and I by the fireplace and the kettle whistling.
Oh, who can blame it?
Charlie.
Marilyn, my dear, we were made for each other.
Kiss me, Charlie. Just to make sure.
Yes, gladly, all right. Playing our song. I think they've enlarged the orchestra.
Charlie, you can't go through with this marriage. The whole country's in revolt, old boy.
Yes?
Here, look, I brought my portable radio so you could hear what's happening.
And now, here is Gabriel Heater.
Ah, there's bad news tonight. Marilyn Monroe is marrying Charlie McCarthy. Somewhere in an army camp, a soldier is tearing up his calendar. Somewhere in New York, a man is crying. That's me. Now for a brief message from our sponsor.
Don't do it, Marilyn.
Heaven's sake, turn on another station.
I'll try this one.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Arthur Godfrey, sponsored by practically everyone. Marilyn Monroe is marrying Charlie McCarthy. By golly, there'll be no commercials today. Only last night I was looking at a picture of Marilyn Monroe and smoking, and I didn't even have a cigarette. Now she's getting married, oh dear. Well, this is for you, Marilyn. I went to your wedding. Oh, I was dreading the thought of losing you. Your mother was crying. Your father was crying.
His strings are getting soggy. Turn him off.
I'll try this station,
yeah,
Charlie.
Stand by for a shortwave broadcast. Direct from England, we bring you the Honorable Winston Churchill.
This is America's darkest hour. The entire British Empire extends its sympathy. If Charles McCarthy insists upon going through with his marriage to Marilyn Monroe, I have only one thing to say. Never has anyone so little taken so much from so many.
Oh, I came so close to marrying Marilyn, but she wiggled out of it.
You know, Nelson, through the years, much new talent has popped up on our show. Right now, I'd like you to meet a fine young singer who we introduced on the show this year and who we think has a very promising future. Here he is, Rudy Whistler.
There'll
my lips would never miss a kiss that's not your kiss. My heart would never let me be untrue. My arms are empty arms unless they hold you. My eyes could tell no other what they've told you. This world you made for me would crumble suddenly if I should ever be without you. I dream all seem to be about you. My heart would never let me be untrue. Unless they hold you, my eyes could tell no other what they've told you. This world you made for me would crumble suddenly.
I've heard Rudy on your shows, and I think he does show a lot of promise. You know, you certainly had a lot of innovations on your programs this year.
Well, Nelson, we don't like to stand still. We like to keep up with the current trends, you know.
Yes, you couldn't be any more timely or hilarious than with Professor Kirkwood's do-it-yourself department.
Ow!
And now I'd like to present our do-it-yourself expert, Professor Three-Finger Kirkwood. This week, Professor Kirkwood has left his carpentry shop to bring us a subject that's close to all of our hearts. How to vulcanize your girdle. Now, Professor, just how would you go about vulcanizing a girdle?
Well, that depends. Are you referring to yours or mine?
Just a moment, Professor. I don't own a girdle.
You mean you're renting the one you're wearing?
I am not wearing a girdle.
No?
No, I'm not.
Then you better put the pot in something, boy. No.
Yeah.
Personally, mine is killing me.
Oh. Tight, eh?
Well, I did have a few before this.
No.
Oh, you mean my girdle?
The girdle, yes.
Silly me.
Oh, I say, how do you do, chaps?
Well, hello, Ray. Professor Kirkwood is going to discuss how to vulcanize a girdle.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I say, I tried wearing a girdle once, but I'm so frightfully thin, you know. I had to hold it up with suspenders.
Oh. Professor, let's get back to our subject.
Thank you, folks. Yeah. Well, tonight, I will teach you how to repair your worn-out and damaged foundation garment, mm-hmm. so that once again, you can be sitting pretty. Not bad. Maybe I can use that as a commercial on my new radio show.
Oh, I see. So you're going to have a radio show advertise your girdles?
That's right.
Oh?
I'm going to call it People Are Flabby. Yeah. Or This Is Your Lard.
No. What's your theme song going to be? Something's Gotta Give?
But I kind of like Love Is a Many Corseted Thing.
Yeah.
Good. I say, how about Ain't You Coming Out Tonight?
Or I'm Walking Behind You.
Yeah. Wait! That sounds like quite a show you have there. Now, where will the commercial be?
I'll do the commercial.
Oh, I see. That'll be...
Yes. Ladies, do you have the feeling that you're being followed? Well, you are. It's you.
How about men? Are you still shipshape, or has your cargo shifted?
That's quite good. I kind of like, folks, do you have a Roman abdomen?
Or is your pot becoming a double boiler?
Or better yet, men, do you have a plunging waistline?
Or do you have a torso like a horso, only more so?
Or do you look like a huge moose with a loose caboose?
Yes. Yes.
Has your two-way stretch developed a four-way split? It has. Yes. Then it's time for you to buy Professor Kirkwood's new contour coordinator.
Professor Kirkwood's girdle comes in three sizes, small, large, and here comes the showboat.
And for those of you who don't want a new foundation garment, we have a very choice retread with very low mileage.
Yes.
It was worn by an old lady from Pasadena.
Yes. Oh, don't forget, order our new Destiny girdle today.
I rather like that. Destiny girdle. How did you come up with
that?
Well,
that's right, boy. You know the famous saying, there's a destiny that shapes our ends?
Oh, yeah.
You know, Edgar, another of my favorites on your show this year is your Meet the People department. I'll never forget that wonderful interview you had with that lady bird watcher, Mrs. Grace Harvard Phillips.
Well, good evening, Mrs. Phillips. You know, I've always had a curiosity about bird watching, so now that you're here, I expect to get straightened out on this subject of birds.
Don't look on me as an authority. I have a lot to learn about birds yet. There are many gaps in my knowledge.
Well, you're president of the Los Angeles Audubon Society, aren't you, Mrs. Phillips?
Yes, but I'm still learning. And besides, I've been a member only 4 years, and I got my first assignment when I was on the second trip that I took with the society.
I see. Well, then they must have recognized your leadership and your qualities as a leader of the Audubon Society right away.
I'm not so sure.
Well.
You see, I took a nap after lunch, and when I woke up, I found they had made me a chairman during my absence.
I see. Well, which probably points to this motto, and never sleep on picnics.
Yes, I've learned since. No good birder ever sleeps on a field trip.
Yes. And what exactly is a birder?
A birder is Audubon Society jargon for a bird watcher.
I see. Ah, yes. And what does a birder do when he's watching birds? I mean, what is the procedure?
Well, we get up early in the morning, like a hunter does. But instead of taking out a gun, we take out binoculars or a telescope or a camera. And, of course, a thermos of hot coffee to help wake us up.
Oh, that was what you forgot the day you became a chairman of the board. The hot coffee. Now, what is the largest bird count you ever made?
We once counted 50,000 wild geese in one migration when they came down to rest on Salton Sea.
I see. Well, then you're the one who has the answer to where the wild goose goes.
Yes, but you can always say boo to a goose, you know.
I see. Well, I've never booed a goose. Well, now, Mrs. Phillips, to the bird watcher, do you have to be able to imitate calls, too?
Well... We don't have to, but expert birders do learn. They practice a lot, and they learn to give lifelike imitations of birds. But others of us carry a little whistle called the Audubon Bird Call. Would you like to hear it?
I would like a short solo, yes.
It sounds a little bit like a yellow-breasted sap seersucker. No. And yet it has some of the earmarks of a emerald-throated dowager. Well, yes.
Well, then you do it.
Yeah, I will do it. All right. I, Oh. That got a little bit wet, but that gives you the idea of it.
Well, now you come out with this next time.
Yes, I would like to do that. Yes. Now, do these imitations, these bird calls, do they actually work? You fool the birds, do you think?
It seems to, but frankly, I think it's more to satisfy the birder, his own idea of what the birds respond to. I believe the birds come out from curiosity.
I guess once in a while the birds and bees get curious about what people are doing. Now, what about some of the cries made by the birds themselves? Suppose you can show us some of those sounds of the birds.
I can try, but I'm not very good at it.
Well,
the chickadee.
Mm-hmm. Well?
And then there's the mockingbird who seems to say words or syllables. Curity, 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 curity. Peter, 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 Peter.
He never got as far as pumpkin eater, though.
The loon,
yes.
Water.
How does the loon go?
And he has a crazy laugh.
Yeah.
I don't know that I can do it.
Oh, we can. There's our answer. We're going to get a half a dozen loons for our audience out here.
I think we have one back there someplace.
You've got a bird watcher on there. Oh, well, I think I can see where you have a lot of fun with bird watching. Now, let's see. Is there any other bird there that you run into around here that you imitate?
The killdeer flies over. The killdeer has a plaintive sort of call. It sounds like a killdeer, 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 killdeer. And killdeer, 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 killdeer.
I think maybe I could get him.
Yes, but you...
Killdeer.
And then the goatsucker.
The goatsucker, yes. Could you give us a smattering of that?
To the Whippoorwill family.
I see.
But out here on the coast, he drops the whip.
Yeah.
And has just the poor will.
Yeah.
And he's the night bird, comes out at night, and he says, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will, poor will.
Probably just paid his income tax, yeah. I think I've run into him going home some night. Well, poor Will, poor Will. I think getting out close to nature, out in the woods and in the countryside, I think it is a very nice way to spend the day. And I want to thank you, Mrs. Grace Harvard Phillips, for being our guest this evening and giving us some of the inside information and the humorous side on bird watching. I want to thank you and wish you a very good night. And I'd like to visit one of these bird watching doings one day.
Good night, Mr. Bird.
Thank you.
Thank you.
at long last.
There's a smoother taste in smoking. It's the Viceroy taste.
Smoother, 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 Viceroy.
Smoother taste, cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Yes, Viceroy is the answer to America's question, which cigarette gives me the smoothest taste? Viceroy, it is the smoother smoke, never, never rough. Here's the reason. Only the Viceroy tip has 20,000 filters made from pure cellulose. Soft, snow-white, natural. That's twice as many filters in every Viceroy tip as the other two largest-selling filter brands. The result? The Viceroy taste is never rough. Never, no, never rough. It's the smoother taste in smoking.
A smoother taste, cause Viceroy has twice as many filters as the other two leading filter cigarettes.
Smoke smoother, Viceroy.
You know, Nelson, we've relived some wonderful highlights, but there's one show I imagine you were too modest to include because you were the guest.
Oh, you mean when he played the Northwest Mountie in the Southeast Africa? Yeah.
Oh, no, not
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we've still got the sketch, so come on, let's do it, Nelson.
The scene opens as the Mounties ride deeper and deeper into this African-type jungle.
I'm worried, Monty McCarthy. We've been riding our horses deeper and deeper into this African-type jungle. I'm afraid we're lost.
Not lost yet, Mountie Nelson. Tell me, does the sun rise in the west and set in the east?
Why, no.
Well, then I've come to one conclusion. I'm facing the wrong way on my horse.
Oh, so that's it. I thought someone had shot the horse's head off. Say, there comes Mountie Noble riding up.
Oh, they're dying like flies. They're dying like flies.
Who?
The flies, old boy.
You're through, Mountie Noble. Turn in your crazy red coat.
Well, it's just as well. This jungle's too dangerous.
Yeah.
So just a while ago, a big lion was chasing me and clawing at my pants.
Oh.
A lion clawing at your pants?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do?
Well, I turned to him and I said, look here, old boy, if you're getting in, I'm getting out.
Mountie McCarthy, we're losing men too fast. What happened to Bergen?
Oh, you mean Mountie Baldy? Crocodiles got him.
Oh, we'll never get out of here alive. I don't want to die. I'm too young to die. Too young to die.
We're nice. We'll let him get away with that. Have the courage, Mountie Nelson. Get a grip on yourself.
But I'm half mad with fear. How can I get a grip on myself?
Well, make it a half Nelson. We have to push on and get our man. Ooh, a snake just wrapped itself around my neck.
Is it a boa?
At a time like this, I don't think it's sex is important.
McCarthy, I'd better give you shots to prevent the jungle diseases.
Yeah.
Roll up your sleeve.
Right, Mountie Nelson.
Malaria. Typhoid. Beriberi.
That's in case I get bitten by a titsy-titsy.
To keep you going, I think I'll sing.
Couldn't I just have some more shots instead?
Oonga bonga wonga. Bonga wonga woo.
Oh, that's beautiful. What is that, Mountie Nelson?
It's an old Ubangi love song.
Oh.
It was first sung by a chieftain locked in jail. Mm. He sang it to his Ubangi sweetheart who was waiting outside.
Slip me those lips under the door. One long, long kiss. I'll ask for no more. Under the door, a foot or more. Slip me.
Well, folks, the big political conventions are approaching. And this year, those CBS television cameras and radio mics will be bringing you the most complete coverage ever. Now, to make sure you see and hear it all, and see and hear it right, the set-making division of the Columbia Broadcasting System is offering the wonderful convention broadcast special. Tell the folks about it, John.
Just listen to this. For a limited time only, you'll get a beautiful CBS radio absolutely free when you buy a new CBS TV set. With the handsome CBS TV consoles offered by your dealer, you get a 3750 CBS clock radio at no extra cost. Or choose from his selection of CBS table model TV sets and get a powerful CBS table radio free. Remember, even without the free radios, these 1956 CBS TV sets are wonderful values. They're the only sets ever built with all nine of TV's most wanted advances. Great advances like automatic CBS robot tuning, step-saving CBS remote control, and many more. So get set up right to see and hear the drama of election year. Visit your CBS TV set dealer soon. And now here is Edgar Bergen.
Thank you, Nelson Eddy, for coming over and helping us celebrate our 20th anniversary in such a memorable fashion. Right now, I'd like to thank everyone who has helped to make our 20 years in radio such a delightful experience for us. Charlie, Mortimer, and Effie, join us all in hoping we can be with you for many more years. So until next Sunday, then, good night.
Edgar Bergen with Johnny McCarthy, Mortimer Snerd, Ray Noble, and the entire ensemble next Sunday at the same time. Tonight's Edgar Bergen Show with Jack Kirkwood, Carol Richards, Rudy Whistler, Dave Barry, and the Mellow Men was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Sam Pierce. Script by Cy Rose, Zeno Klinker, and Hilda Black. This is John Heaston speaking.
Stay tuned for CBS News, followed by Miss Brooks on the CBS Radio Network.